Now we bring to these microphones a broadcast partner par excellence. He's a gentleman living in Jerusalem that we have come to really enjoy having conversations with because he brings information we need to know to the table. And as we focus on the Temple Mount and the preparations to build the next temple, a Jewish temple in Jerusalem, we have Rabbi Yoel Karen, who is an expert basically in both of those areas, who comes and lets us know really what is happening. Information, details behind the headlines on all of these subjects. Rabbi, thank you for joining us. I want to talk about Tish B'Av, and I want you to explain its meaning, its background, what you do today, and what it means for the future in just a moment. But first, I would like to take care of some housekeeping situations. For example, there was an article in one of the news media coming out of Jerusalem this week that asked the question, has the Temple Mount become a theme park? And that was because of the fact that now the Muslims are promoting the idea for youth types of sports activities, soccer, whatever, on the Temple Mount. A lot of people come just to play there. What is your thought? Is this changing the sacredness of this holy site for the Jewish people, or is it just something that should be going on?
Well, it's something that's always been going on. I think the difference is now that more Jews are going up to Har HaBayit. They're seeing it, and it's deeply offending and hurting them. The Arabs have always played soccer all over the temple now. They have, you know, it's the Arabs that put up these signs about the sacredness of the site and not to do this and not to do that and making sure that women have themselves covered when they come up and everything. But they treat the place like a garbage dump and a soccer field. That's pretty much what it is to most of them. And the kids are running all over the place, throwing soccer balls and everything. And it's actually one of the only things that the government has really sided with us on. There is a supreme, it went all the way to the Supreme Court. There's a Supreme Court decision forbidding them from playing soccer because of the holiness of the site. But they continue to do it anyway. The police do nothing about it. I questioned a cop about it once when I was up there. I said, you know, it's illegal. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, there's a Supreme Court decision against this. He goes, from when? So I called my attorney friend. I asked him. He said, from 1997. He goes, aye, 1997, that's a long time ago. As if Supreme Court decisions just expire. The law just expires after a while. You don't have to worry about it. But now that more people are going up, they're seeing it, and they can't believe what they're seeing. So it's a good thing, really. I think it's great. This article was written probably out of a sense of outrage over what someone saw there. So I think that's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. Well, then one other item before we get to Tish B'Av. Thousands of young Orthodox Jewish girls came to the Western Wall Plaza area. There's been an effort by Women of the Wall to go to the Western Wall and to pray, and pray similar to the way the men pray. And there is some concern among the Orthodox community about this. So these thousands of young Orthodox girls tried to block them. Were they successful? And what does this mean in this whole effort?
Well, it's funny, you know, because the same day that all of this happened was the first day of the fifth month, what the Bible would call the fifth month, the month that today in modern Hebrew is called the month of Av. And, of course, like we said, this is the month when both temples were destroyed. So on this first day of the month, down below at this wall, the Western Wall, this retaining wall that Herod built, which honestly served as the marketplace in the Second Temple period, there's no holiness or significance assigned to it at all by the ancient rabbis and the prophets. It was simply the marketplace. In fact, it was a place that they avoided at all costs. There were big bridges built so that the priests could avoid going down into that area, and they could sort of just cross over these bridges and get straight onto the Temple Mount without defiling themselves with the different types of impurities that would be encountered down there in the market. So that's what the Western Wall actually is, and these people are down there fighting like cats and dogs over it, calling each other names, throwing eggs and chairs at one another. It's just the biggest scene of craziness ever. And I have divorced myself from all connection to that place at all. My focus, of course, is up on the Temple Mount, where our focus is to be the only one and only place in all of this earth that God told me explicitly as a Jew to go and pray and told all the nations to come there and pray. That's where my focus is. And at that very moment that all these terrible things were going on down there with people fighting over who gets to pray where and how, up on that mountain, hardly covered by the media at all, 150 Jewish children went up and ascended the Temple Mount, and many of them spontaneously just threw themselves on the floor, spread out, face down, on the ground in front of the Holy of Holies, and began to cry out to God. And I had a photo of this young boy and the police telling him to get back up, get up. The police didn't like it. It made them nervous. And there's this photo of this boy with his hands outstretched, lying face down on the floor. And I said, well, while people are arguing and calling each other names down there below, this boy is crying out to his God on the mountain of God and probably saving us all from divine judgment. So along with the bad, there's always good.
Wow, that is a great report. I did not know that. Like you say, the media did not cover it. So not being in Jerusalem myself right now, it's difficult to stay on top of all those stories. One of the reasons that we're so thrilled to have you along as one of our broadcast partners. By the way, I do want to let you know that if I was in those demonstrations down below at the Western Wall, I would much rather be hit with an egg than a chair. So I just want to, I want to let you know that. Well, let's get serious now. Let's talk about Tisha B'Av. First of all, tell me, and all of those eavesdropping on the conversation, what it is. Let's talk about how it all came about. What is the tradition of Tisha B'Av?
Well, of course, you know, this is, if you want to know all about it, it's there in the book of Jeremiah. It's there in the book of Lamentations, and the fast of the fifth month is referenced by God himself in the book of Zechariah. He said that the fast of the fifth month will be turned eventually into a time of joy. So what is the fast of the fifth month? On the ninth day of the fifth month, both the first and second temples were destroyed. This is a fact. And throughout Jewish history, many awful tragedies have happened to the Jewish people on the ninth day of the fifth month. The expulsion from Spain, when all the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492. This happened on the ninth of Av, the same day. The destruction of Gush Katif and the settlements in the Gaza Strip, 8,000 Jews evicted from their homes and thrown out of their homes. This also happened. The main thrust of everything was a day later, but the expulsion already had begun on the 9th of Av. So throughout our history, terrible, terrible things have happened on this day. It's a day of mourning. It's a day of fasting. It's the same as the fast of Yom Kippur. From sundown to sundown, we fast, we don't bathe, we don't do anything. This is because of what happened to our temples. And the reason we're fasting is not just because we're upset because the temples are gone. We're to sit there and think about what we did, where we went wrong, what needs to change, how we need to change ourselves as individuals and our nation to get back on track and get to being what God wants us to be and dedicate ourselves to fulfilling his will and to be what the Bible calls a mamlechet kohanim and a goy kadosh, a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.
Yeah, and that's what it says there in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, just before the law is given to Moses there at Mount Sinai. Well, let me just remind everybody, that first temple built by King Solomon was destroyed in 586 B.C. on Tisha B'Av. And then the second temple, Zerubbabel came back out of the Babylonian captivity. He built with those 50,000 Jews who came back with him to Jerusalem. They built that second temple. Herod comes along and refurbishes it, but it was a Jewish temple built by Zerubbabel and those people returning from Babylon. And that was destroyed in 70 A.D. by the Roman army led by General Titus. So those are the two temples and their destructions happening on the same calendar day many years apart. I know now, and I've been a part of some of the times on Tisha B'Av, joining with some of my dear Jewish friends, I think of Gershon Solomon for one, where we would go up to one of the gates. There are seven gates leading onto the Temple Mount. But there sit, and as you said, think about what was going on, contemplate what you should have done. I'm talking about the Jewish people in general, not just you, Rabbi. But you also read the Book of Lamentations, do you not, and pray?
Absolutely. That's why the Book of Lamentations was written. And you know, the book starts out saying, Echa, how? How did this happen? How did we fall so far? How did we get so far out of the will of God? And that's what it's all about. That's what this day is about. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to, everyone, as individuals and as a nation, asking ourselves that question. And we sit on the floor. We don't sit up on regular chairs on that day. Just like mourners, just as if someone has died, we sit on the floor that day.
Does it not then, at the same time, motivate all of you to be preparing to build that next temple? The fact is that I think that phrase next year in Jerusalem is talking about next year we're going to see a temple on the Temple Mount on the next Tisha B'Av.
Well, that's really the question now. The question is, why are we doing this? Has the mourning and the sitting on the floor and the reading Lamentations, has it become a goal in and of itself? Or are we doing it for a reason? Are we doing it to motivate ourselves to get back and find the will of God and seek His will and seek to be with Him and to do what He wants of us? Or have we just become used to the mourning, and that in itself is the goal? That's the question. That's what we're trying to get people to realize. The Temple Institute just put out a new video with it's a scene of all the people sitting on the floor in the synagogue on the 9th of Av. They're all mourning, and the rabbi is up there. He's crying, and he's praying, and the children are in a room to the side. And one boy stands up and points at a picture of the temple and starts to talk to the other children. And the kids all have these toy tool belts. They all strap on these tool belts, and they all walk out and pull their fathers up off the floor and say, "Come, let's go build it." And that's the question that the Jewish people are beginning to ask themselves. And God willing, they'll come to the right conclusion soon.
Yes, a little child shall lead the adults. I saw that video that you're talking about, and we're going to post it on our website. It's a must-see for anybody interested in what's happening in Israel. Rabbi Yoel Karen, he is a dear friend, but he's also an excellent broadcast partner with us right here on Prophecy Today. Rabbi, you've been so helpful in helping those eavesdropping on the conversation today to understand about Tisha B'Av, but also give us an update on what's happening as it relates to the Temple Mount. Thank you so much, my good friend.
Thank you for having me.